with ones who had become Christian, were struggling with their Christianity. The problems around them were so great. Let's throw the whole thing away. Let's go back to Judaism. And what we've seen through all the doctrine is, how can you even think of such a thing? Do you really understand who Jesus is? Have you really met him? Do you know the greatness of what he has for you? Then how can you think of going back? Then we came to chapter 13 and the application. Live it out. If you're a Christian, live it out. Tonight we have the table in front of us. The table. That, as such, did not exist back in the Old Testament. But here we are in the New. So let us pray. Father, I would pray that we would see Jesus. That we would see the reality of the table in front of us. The elements symbolizing body and blood of Jesus Christ. That precious, final, once-for-all, eternal sacrifice. Help us then to learn what you have for us from two simple verses of application that you have for them as it was written, as you have for us as we would see it, take it in, and prayerfully continue to learn how to apply them. May you be glorified. You are so worthy. And thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You wouldn't think of going to the temple without them. It just wasn't done. If you were a Jew back in the Old Testament days, you'd go to temple. You had to, or you were in trouble. On the days of the great feasts. And again, you wouldn't think of going to the temple without them. Worship required sacrifices. Most came with blood. Blood for our sins. But there were other offerings too that you would bring with to the temple. There were thanks offerings. There were peace offerings. Some offerings included grains and fruits and incense. But animals were the major part. Animals, blood, sacrifices. You wouldn't think of going to temple without them. So here we are. No, we're not in a temple. We are in what we would call a sanctuary, a place where God's people meet together to worship as such. We don't go to temple. The temple as such does not exist in Jerusalem anymore. It's not needed there. For Jesus is God's final sacrifice. And God provided his son a final once for all sacrifice. And through that sacrifice, the holy, righteous wrath of God was satisfied. The wages of sin is death. It's damnation. Damnation, I'm afraid, is very real. I could only pray that no one here tonight would ever have to experience it. But except you're born again before you die or before Jesus comes, you will experience it. It's real. The sacrifice of Jesus. That's what's symbolized in front of us here. That once for all, final sacrifice. Consequently, the Roman Catholic Mass is heretically wrong. The temple for the Jews, it doesn't exist. It's not needed anymore. The priesthood of the Old Testament as such, it's been replaced. Replaced by everyone who was born again. We are a kingdom of priests when we are born again. And we go directly to the throne of grace. You don't have to go through a pastor, a parent, or anyone else. If you are born again and a child of God, we pray directly to God. That's what he tells us. We are to come there, trusting, knowing that he hears and he always answers. Always answers in his way. And yet having said that, the temple not needed, sacrifices as such not needed, God still requires sacrifices. Have you brought yours? Are you bringing yours continually, the sacrifices that God requires? Well, very simply, if you're born again, I remind you of Romans 12, verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you, King James translation, I beg of you. Hey, get the point. Present your bodies, your life, all that you are as a living sacrifice. That's what's acceptable to God. That's what's well-pleasing to God. Nothing less. I want all of you. All of you is what God says. I want your mind. I want your emotions. I want your dreams. I want your money. I want all of you presented as a living sacrifice. We go to the temple. We kill the animals. They are dead sacrifices. Well-pleasing to God in its context. But not anymore. I want your live body, your life, to be lived for the kingdom of God. That's where we are. But there are additional sacrifices that we find from the text. Let me read them. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Tonight, we're going to look at these two sacrifices. Notice first, do good and share. Back in chapter 13, the first three verses, let love of the brethren continue. We talked about that. But again, do not neglect. Why are they told do not neglect hospitality, etc.? Why? Because obviously they were. It is so easy for us, for self to come to the forefront. Selfishness. We also are in danger of being caught up with our own stuff, our own lives. The dreams, nothing wrong with having dreams. Plans, nothing wrong with having plans. But they are to be, I go to Corrie Ten Boom, held loosely, held loosely. God, they are yours. Yes, I am who I is. I have my dreams and ideas of what I'd like and what's best. But God, I've surrendered that to you, so they are yours, held loosely, ready to let them go if necessary, and to turn my life upside down and around. And mine certainly was. Most of you know that. No way was I going to be a pastor. Huh, what a joke now, 52 years later almost. But to understand again, God, you tell us, be careful, watch yourself, because self rises to the surface far too easily, and it pushes itself, and we block out everything else. It's good to have everything else, almost everything else, but God, it's under your control. What do you have for me? We are warned not to neglect. She was a little girl. She was playing with her siblings' blocks. I don't know how many of you have blocks at home with letters on them. And this little girl was playing with them and trying to put words together with the blocks. And then she said to her mom, Mom, look at this. I have been able to make two words out of the one word. The one word there is good. But out of the word good, G-O-O-D, I can make, she's small, she's young, but I can make two words, go and do. Mom thought for a moment. Good. Go and do. My little girl has taught me a very powerful, practical Christian lesson. As ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we are told to go. But here also we find we are told to do. Do good. A life of concern for others is a large part of Christianity. 1 John 3:18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth, do good. It doesn't always mean to bail someone out of their problems financially or whatever it might be. Maybe they're not using their time well. Maybe they're not using their money well. And most of you are aware of the book, when giving hurts, when doing good hurts. And we prop up people and allow them to continue on with wrongful ways. Use of time, use of money, whatever it might be. No, it's not that. And also to remember that often God has to apply the squeeze, the pressure on us. And he can do that through our money, through our time, through whatever, our health. He puts the pressure on us in order to cause us to cry, Uncle. Only it's not Uncle, it's my God. It's my God. Forgive me. I have not been living the way I should. I have not been acting the way I should. You, God, are showing me that. And yes, the pressure hurts. Thank you for ones who didn't relieve me of pressure that you wanted me to feel. Having said that, we're also told to do good, to think of others, and to reach out and help them. Our government has not helped the work ethic of Americans. By the way, it has doled out. Forgive. Take on debts with your school loans, and we'll bail you out. It's not right. VBS is coming. There's been a concern down through the years about VBS when you leave our parking lot because of the high weeds out there. PennDOT was contacted if they could come and cut those weeds down. If not, Cornerstone will have to cut those weeds down. PennDOT's supposed to. The problem with PennDOT, they have a workforce that is only 40% of what they need, is what we were told. Why only 40%? Because we can't get workers. I think you've seen it. I've seen it many times in restaurants and all around. Can't get workers. Workers needed. Signs all over the place. Yes, it's not always good to bail out. And yet we are there to reach out to others with encouragement, practical help, whatever it might be. Do good in helping one another. Share. Do good and share. The word for share, English is share. The Greek word is koinonia. Koinonia? What does koinonia have to do with sharing? I can remember back the Lutheran youth group that I attended once in a while back in my high school days. Another night from my own youth group or from another, Bethany Lutheran. That was another one in Zion Lutheran. I went to 3 youth groups there during my sophomore year. But in any case, their youth group, they spoke of koinonia groups or fellowship groups. That's what the word means. To have in common, koinonia, fellowship. A fellowship of the body of Christ is to have in common. For some of you, it might be a cup of coffee, but it's a lot more than that. It's Jesus. We have Jesus in common. But here the text speaks of fellowship. It's reaching out and sharing. The Apostle Paul wrote, Philippians 4:18, I have received everything in full. I have an abundance. Are you worried about Paul? Does he have enough money? Can he make it? Often he had to work willingly as a tent maker to supply his own needs. Because there were many, Paul, you're like a lot of the televangelists and preachers today in churches. They're in it for the money. And Paul wanted to make sure he wasn't accused of that. And so he worked. Though he said, I don't have to. Again, don't muzzle the ox. And the one who gives you spiritual food should also be given, taken care of with the financial, etc. But Paul said in Philippians 4:18, I've received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent. What you have sent. Yeah, money to help me in my ministry. But he calls it, listen to the language, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Sacrificial Old Testament language he uses to explain the financial gifts that were given to him. Share. Have in common. Fellowship. Look for opportunities to reach out. Sometimes it may be money. Sometimes it may be that. But share your testimonies. How did you come to know Jesus Christ? At the reception yesterday, I spoke to a number of the young people. How did you come to meet Zach or Hannah, etc.? And share. Share your victories over your temptations. Well, maybe I don't want you to know that I was tempted in that way. Maybe God would have you share that victory because someone that you are sharing with may be struggling with the same temptation that you have. Share. Have in common fellowship. Share your testimonies, your victories over temptation. Share your prayer concerns. By the way, what can I pray for in your life? When was the last time we asked someone that? Maybe we need to be doing it more often. Do good and share. And then we find, notice, with such sacrifices of doing good and sharing, verse 16, God is pleased. You want to make God, you do want to make God happy, don't you? Well, then do good. But I'm so busy. Yeah, rearrange my priorities and my schedule and make use of those opportunities, again, to do good and to share. The scripture is so full of that kind of language. I just want to read a few things. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 and verse 13, I read. Again, for the Christian here, it's fervent in spirit, verse 11, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing, and there's koinonia, there's that fellowshipping, contributing to the needs of the saints. That's a part of it there. And I turn to James 1:27. And in James 1:27, I read as follows. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of God. We're talking sacrifices. We're talking Old Testament religion. Pure, undefiled in the sight of our God and Father is this. Get religious. Visit orphans and widows in their distress. And keep oneself unstained by the world. But to visit orphans and widows. Some of you have heard from me before how it's been impressed on my heart. Orphans, widows, and those in prison, the scripture speaks of often as well. Remember them. Remember them. Visit, do good, and share, the text would say. Galatians chapter 6, Paul writes. Galatians 6 verses 9 and 10, he says this. Let us not lose heart in doing good. Don't get discouraged. I say that right now, and I think of Kathy Berkey's trailer park. I remember visiting a home there. I'm not sure if it was VBS visitation or whatever, but I got into a good conversation. And they had a bill due at Souders, which is right across the street, for their car. I lent them money. Do you hear me? I didn't give them money. I lent them money. I haven't seen them since. I'm never going to lend anyone any money again. You're going to get burned. I've been burned a number of times. Maybe I was wrong in what I did with some people. But again, if your heart is right and you're seeking God, you're going to get burned. But let us not lose heart in doing good. Oh, God, that's what you say to me, don't you? For in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity in due time, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Do good. Share. Reach out. Yeah. Maybe I ought to end that section with the words of Jesus in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, I begin reading. This is a lengthy passage of sorts, 35 to 40. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. Do good. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. Do good. I was a stranger and you invited me in. Do good. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. You did it to me. With such sacrifices, God says, he is pleased. He is pleased. It makes him happy to reach out and do. He was a young boy. A young boy who wandered in to an evangelistic service. He came from, I would say, growing up in Staten Island, New York City. He came from the projects. the projects. Those were the apartments where the poor people lived. Those were the apartments that I would deliver beds to, and you could find an inch or two of whatever on the floor. And the halls reeked of urine. Poor. He got saved that night. Just a young guy, young teen, got saved. After his salvation, there was a real nice guy who wanted to show him what an idiot he was for trusting in Jesus. And he said this to him, a question. If God really loves you, why doesn't someone take better care of you? Why doesn't God tell somebody to send you a new pair of shoes? The new convert, with tears in his eyes, said, maybe God did tell someone to send me a pair of shoes, but he forgot. But he forgot. Sacrifices that please God are doing good and sharing, reaching out to others. When God puts someone or something on our hearts and minds, do good. It pleases God to reach out and let our Christianity show. Do good. Sacrifice number one, after the Romans 12 one of giving your whole life to God. Number two, and finally for tonight, it pleases God. Number two, offer up praise. Praise. It is done through Jesus. As a matter of fact, the NIV wants to make sure, and it took liberties in the NIV translation. You notice verse 15 in your Bible. The NASB says through him, and that's basically what the Greek says, through him. But as I shared, the NIV wanted to make sure you got the point. It's through Jesus, because him is Jesus in context. Why do I say that? I say that because everything has to come through Jesus. Acts 4:12 makes it clear. There is salvation in no one else. You want to get saved? It's got to be through Jesus. You got to be born again. It's on his terms, through Jesus. John 14:6, I am the way, Jesus said. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's only one mediator between God and man. It's through Jesus. Everything's through Jesus. It's not by religion. It's not by angels. It's not by Mary. It's not by the saints. It's through Jesus. Hey, what have you experienced from Jesus? What has he done for you? Can you think about it for a moment? Anything worthy of thanking him for it? Anything worthy of commendation because of Jesus? Where would I be except for him? Then what makes it so difficult for us to give thanks, to give praise to Jesus? Oh, that's right. We get so caught up with self too easily. And our pride and our embarrassment, if I was to say something. No, it's supposed to be all about him. He gives us the ability to speak for him. Again, take up your shield of faith and ward off the temptation not to. And by faith, step out and open our mouths and share. You know, one of the commands about the Holy Spirit is we are told, do not quench, do not stifle. Do not make it awkward or difficult or almost, well, nothing's impossible with God, but I want to say almost impossible for God to work in a congregation or to work in a meeting. How can you stifle the Holy Spirit? Well, maybe through this, by not bringing my sacrifice that he would have me bring when I come to the Lord's house. As we fail to trust him enough, therefore we hold back the praise that he wants a you or a me to give forth. Yes? Do not neglect doing good and sharing. But before that, through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. Let us offer up a sacrifice. Because a testimony of praise, God sees it as a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice we're supposed to bring. Oh, I want to sing the chorus. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Yes, they would bring animals. And actually, the word here in verse 15, let us continually offer up a sacrifice. That word for sacrifice there, the word itself is anaphero. on a pharaoh, which was a technical term for animal sacrifices. And that's what's used in this context of giving praise. It's a sacrifice, again, which pleases God. The Old Testament language of thanks. Hosea 14:2, take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, that we may present the fruit of our lips. Of our lips. The sacrifice of praise. Psalm 107, 1 and 2. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Have you been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, by Jesus? Then say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. The language here of verse 15 is probably taken from Psalm 50. I want to read a few verses from Psalm 50. I read here Psalm 50 as soon as I find it. There we go. Psalm 50, I'm going to start reading at verse 12 through 15 and then 23. Psalm 50, verse 12. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all it contains. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of male goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you and you will honor me. And then verse 23, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. And to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. To honor God is to open my mouth and to bring a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to him. Wow. I don't have to bring a bull, a goat. I don't have to bring an animal and have it butchered and blood poured out. Oh, the table reminds me, that kind of sacrifice is long gone. But he wants my life. And he wants me doing good and sharing. And he wants me to give with my mouth a sacrifice of praise to him. Each of us has the capacity, when we are saved, to add to the service sacrifices that would honor him. Each of us has the capacity to stifle and to hold back. That hurts ourselves. But it also hurts to one another that we supposedly love when we do not share what we're supposed to share. Newell, in his commentary, shares, the hope of most Christians is to go to heaven when they die. But believers are to enter into heaven where Christ is now. Again, Ephesians 1, seated in the heavenlies, already we're there. Yes, Jesus wants us, as he once said, the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. If my heart is filled with thanksgiving, I want to give praise. Some of you are familiar with Oliver Wendell Holmes. Oliver Wendell Holmes. He once said, if one should give me a dish of sand and tell me there were particles of iron in the dish of sand, I might look for them with my eyes, I might feel for them with my fingers, but I would be unable to detect them. But let me take a magnet and sweep through it, and how that magnet would draw to itself the most invisible particles by the mere power of attraction. The unthankful heart, like my finger in the sand, discovers no mercy. The unthankful heart discovers no mercy. The unthankful heart to God finds nothing to praise him for, to thank him for, the unthankful heart. But let the thankful heart sweep through the day as a magnet finds the iron, so it will find in every hour some heavenly blessings. Only the iron in God's sand is gold. Count your blessings, count them, name them one by one, or I like to sing ton by ton. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. And count your many blessings and give praise to God for what he has done. Mel Trotter, I believe his father was, he lived from 1870 to 1940. I believe his father had a bar. Only father who owned the bar drank more. He was a drunk. And Mel Trotter, growing up with a daddy who had a bar who was a drunk, soon became a drunk himself. He was a barber, but he became a drunk. He was saved, Mel Trotter was. He lived from 1870 to 1940. He was saved at that place that I listen to when we're traveling in the car a lot. You know where Unshackled comes from? Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. He wandered into that mission in Chicago, and Mel Trotter got saved there. He was made the director of a similar rescue mission in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And well known. Often at that mission, they would have what was called say-so time. We call it testimony time or praise time or whatever. But at the say-so time, there was a 14-year-old boy who couldn't keep quiet. He just stood up and he said very briefly, "I'm glad Jesus saved me. Amen." And sat down. That's all he said. The young teen's name was Mel Johnson. Mel Johnson. I grew up listening to some of Mel Johnson on the radio. Children's Bible Hour, Tips for Teens. I became a leader there in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And I don't know if he was ever president, but one of the heads, if not on the board, of Northwestern Bible College there. But when that 14-year-old boy shared, "I'm glad Jesus saved me, amen," and sat down, Mel Trotter said this: "That's the finest testimony I ever heard." Those few words so encouraged the 14-year-old boy that he became himself the one who was on the radio for many years and used tremendously with work with teens and families in helping others to grow. Yes, the fruit of our lips giving praise to his name. Testimony. I've shared with you many times, and I've shared that phrase many times. But as a boy, when I sensed God wanted me to say something in church, I didn't wait. The longer I waited, the more ugly I felt inside. I got to say something. I learned to be fast, like this 14-year-old Mel Johnson. Doesn't have to be profound. It has to just be from the heart for what God has done. For what God has done. John MacArthur said, "Lip service must be accompanied by life service." Lip service must be accompanied by life service. The two sacrifices we talked tonight, the fruit of our lips giving praise to his name and doing good and sharing, reaching out and helping. No, we have no choice. I have no choice. You have no choice. If we desire to please God, we must be obedient to him. And so we must bring our sacrifices to God. The two we've looked at tonight that flow from the giving of our lives, first of all. The table is in front of us. We're going there in just a few moments. But I want to share the words of an individual first. Think of the table, look at the table, whatever. "Praise my soul, the God that sought thee, wretched wanderer, far astray, found thee lost and kindly brought thee from the paths of death away. Praise with love's devoutest feeling him who saw thy guilt born fear, and the light of hope revealing made the blood-stained cross appear. Lord, my deep and ardent feeling vainly would my lips express. Lord, before thy footstool kneeling, deign thy suppliant's prayer to bless. Let thy grace, my soul's chief treasure, love's pure flame within me raise. And since words can never measure, let my life show forth thy praise." In a day when our country is going under and further away from God, those were words that Francis Scott Key once expressed. If you don't know who he is, he wrote the Star-Spangled Banner. Amen. We come to the table.